All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Am I Remembering This Correctly? The show where we take a look at some of history's most intriguing people and events. I'm your host, Caleb Giles, and on today's episode, we will be covering one of the biggest April Fool's pranks ever to be pulled. Did you know that spaghetti grew on trees? Well, it doesn't. However, in 1957, the BBC program, Panorama, aired a lengthy episode that featured a family that was successfully growing spaghetti on trees at their family farm. The broadcast even stated that the unusually warm weather and climate near the extinction and the near extinction of the spaghetti weevil had produced conditions just ripe for a bountiful pasta harvest. On April 1st, 1957, the British news show Panorama broadcasted a three-minute segment about a bumper spaghetti harvest in southern Switzerland. The success of the crop was attributed to both an unusually mild winter and to the virtual disappearance of the aforementioned spaghetti weevil. As the audience watched the program in amazement, they heard the voice of Richard Dimbley, the show's highly respected anchor, discussing the details of the spaghetti crop as they watched footage of a Swiss family pulling pasta off spaghetti trees and placing it into baskets. The segment concluded with the assurance that, for those who love this dish, there's nothing like real homegrown spaghetti. The Swiss spaghetti harvest hoax generated an enormous response. Hundreds of people phoned the BBC wanting to know how they could grow their own spaghetti tree. To this question, the BBC diplomatically replied, "Place a sprig of spaghetti in a tin of tomato sauce and hope for the best." A Panorama cameraman, Charles de Jager, came up with the idea for the spaghetti harvest hoax. De Jager was born in Vienna in 1911, and he worked in Austria as a freelance photographer before moving to Britain during the 1930s, where he worked for the film unit of the General Charles de Gaulle's Free French Forces. He then joined the BBC later in 1943. De Jager had a reputation for being a practical joker. Early in his career at the BBC, he was sent to the Vatican to interview the Pope. However, scheduling this interview proved difficult as it had to be rescheduled multiple times. Finally, a representative priest from the Vatican told him that His Holiness will see you on Tuesday afternoon, to which De Jager replied, "Yes, but is he a man of his word?" Another time, De Jager had to buy some dungarees to protect his clothes during an assignment. He requested compensation from the BBC, but he was denied. The administration told him that he, instead of buying new clothes, he should have just worn his old ones. A month later, De Jager submitted an expense report in which he included €6 spent on entertaining press officer Mr. Dungarees. Jager later noted in a press interview that the BBC paid this commission without a murmur. The idea for the spaghetti hoax grew out of a remark that one of his Austrian school teachers often teasingly said to the class. His teacher used to say, "Boys, you're so stupid, you'd believe me if I told you that spaghetti grows on trees." So as an adult, De Jager thought it would be funny to turn this remark into an actual visual joke for April Fool's Day. He became quite obsessed with the idea, trying a number of times to sell the idea to all of his different bosses. But it was only in 1957, when he was working for Panorama, that he found some willing accomplices. During the 1950s, there were only two television channels available to British viewers, the BBC and ITV. Panorama was BBC's flagship news program, which boasted a viewership of about 10 million people every episode. It aired every Monday night at 8 p.m., and it usually beat out a Wagon Train, which is the show that ITV ran against it at the same time. Since 1955, Panorama has been anchored by Richard Dimbley, who's known for having this really authoritative, commanding presence, and it's made him one of the most revered public figures in Britain. De Jager knew that if he could convince Dimbley to air his footage and narrate over it, that the audience was more likely to trust it and believe that it was true. As one of his colleagues at Panorama put it, he had enough gravitas to float an aircraft carrier, and this is one of the reasons that the spaghetti harvest hoax fooled so many people, is because they had Richard Dimbley, a highly respected official, in on it, and people believe people tend to believe others who they sense to have an authority over them or are a higher power structure. So basically, Richard Dimbley's participation lent the hoax an air of unimpeachable authority. In 1957, April 1st fell on a Monday. De Jager realized this and realized that Panorama was presented with the rare opportunity to include an April Fool's Day segment in its broadcast. He shared his idea with one of his colleagues, writer David Wheeler. Wheeler loved this idea so much that the two of them pitched the concept to Michael Peacock, who was Panorama's editor at the time. One of the selling points that De Jager stressed was that it would be relatively cheap to produce the segment. De Jager was going to be on assignment in Switzerland anyway, so he could just combine the cost with the other project. And just for context here, De Jager was able to fluently speak English, Italian, French, and German, so they often used him as, like, just the foreign affairs kind of journalist. Peacock was intrigued about the segment, so he decided to okay the plan, and he granted them a budget of 100 euros. De Jager then headed to Switzerland later in March, and he was accompanied by a representative from the Swiss Tourist Office, who scouted out a location. The weather, when they tried to shoot the spaghetti scandal, the weather proved kind of problematic. It was, you know, very misty, droopy, cold, so most of the trees were not in blossom. But eventually, after a lot of searching, they found the perfect setting, which was around a hotel and Castellone on the shore of Lake Lugano, and it was surrounded by a bunch of evergreen laurel trees, which were in bloom and in season. De Jager obtained 20 pounds of uncooked homemade spaghetti, and at first he began hanging it from branches to create spaghetti trees. But soon he encountered a problem. He realized that as he went and pre-laid the spaghetti, when it was time to film, all the spaghetti noodles had dried out, and they wouldn't hang from the branches anymore, so they were just falling off. At first, he tried to solve this problem by cooking the spaghetti and then hanging it, but once cooked, the spaghetti noodles became slippery and then slid off the branches onto the ground. So, you know, they try cooking it beforehand, it doesn't work, and then they try, you know, doing it after, that doesn't work either. So the Swiss tourist rep that actually came with De Jager and his crew came up with a solution, and he said that they should place the uncooked spaghetti between damp cloths to keep it moist until it was ready to use. With this problem solved, De Jager hired some local girls to hang the spaghetti in the trees. He basically went into, like, the local town, and he said, "Hey, here's some money, wear this costume, and you'll be on BBC." And nobody's going to turn down, you know, the option to be on Britain's biggest news program. So he had them wear their traditional costume, and then he filmed them as they climbed ladders carrying wicker baskets, which they filled full of spaghetti, and then laid it out to dry in the sun. After he had all the shots he needed of the spaghetti harvest, he prepared a spaghetti feast for the actors, which was also filmed. The footage was then rushed back to London, where it was edited into a 3-minute segment. Music was added to the background to provide the appropriate atmosphere, and the songs chosen were a Neapolitan Love Song by Walter Stott and Spring in Ravana by Hans May. Wheeler wrote the text that was read by Dimbley. Michael Peacock had kept his decision to include an April Fool's Day joke in the Panorama broadcast a closely guarded secret, fearing his superiors would veto the decision. He only told his boss, Leonard Mial, at the last minute. Almost no one at the BBC knew about it, and the segment was not mentioned at all in the pre-transmission publicity handouts. The lineup for the day show was considerably normal. It included a long segment about Archbishop Makarios, the leader of the Greek Cypriots, a clip of the Duke of Edinburgh attending the premiere of the war film The Yangtze Incident, and the second to last segment was about a wine tasting contest, and then it came time for the spaghetti harvest. Dimbleby, sitting at the set of Panorama, looked into the camera and without a trace of a smile said, "And now, from wine to food, we end Panorama tonight with a special report from the Swiss Alps." The screen then faded to black and cut to the prepared footage that De Jager had submitted. When it was all over, Dimbleby reappeared and said, "Now we say goodnight on this first day of April." He emphasized the final phrase. I'm now going to read the exact text that was narrated by Richard Dimbleby as the viewers are watching the spaghetti harvest. "It is not only in Britain that spring this year has taken everyone by surprise. Here in Ticino, on the borders of Switzerland and Italy, the slopes overlooking Lake Lugano have already burst into flower at least a fortnight earlier than usual. But what, you may ask, has the early and welcome arrival of bees and blossom to do with food? Well, it is simply that the past winter, one of the mildest in living memory, has had its effect in other ways as well. Most important of all, it's resulted in an exceptionally heavy spaghetti crop. The last 2 weeks of March are an anxious time for the spaghetti farmer. There is always the chance of a late frost, which, while not entirely ruining the crop, generally impairs the flavor and makes it difficult for them to obtain top prices in world markets. But now these dangers are over and the spaghetti harvest goes forward. Spaghetti cultivation here in Switzerland is not, of course, carried out on anything like the tremendous skill of the Italian industry. Many of you, I am sure, will have seen pictures of the vast spaghetti plantations in the Po Valley. For the Swiss, however, it tends to be more of a family affair. Another reason why this may be a bumper year lies in the virtual disappearance of the spaghetti weevil, the tiny creature whose depredations have caused much concern in the past. After picking, the spaghetti is laid out to dry in the warm alpine air. Many people are very puzzled by the fact that spaghetti is produced in such uniform leaves. This is the result of many years of patient endeavor by plant breeders who succeeded in producing the perfect spaghetti. Now the harvest is marked by a traditional meal. Toast to the crop are drunk in these bucolinos. Then the waiters enter bearing the ceremonial dish. This is, of course, spaghetti, picked early in the day, dried in the sun, and so brought fresh from the garden to table at the very peak condition. For those who love this dish, there's nothing like real homegrown spaghetti." And that was the end of the broadcast. Soon after the broadcast ended, the BBC began to receive hundreds of calls from viewers. Leonard Mial walked over to the BBC's telephone to witness what was going on. He later wrote, "The calls came in incessantly. Some were from viewers who enjoyed the joke, including one from Bristol who complained that spaghetti didn't grow vertically. It grew horizontally. But mainly the calls were requests for the BBC to settle family arguments. The husband knew it must be true that spaghetti grew on a bush because Richard Dimbleby had said so, and the wife knew it was made with flour and water, but neither could convince the other." Before transmission ceased that evening, the BBC broadcasted a statement in which it informed viewers of the hoax. And the message read as follows. "The BBC has received a mixed reaction to a spoof documentary broadcast this evening about a spaghetti crop in Switzerland. The hoax Panorama program, narrated by distinguished broadcaster Richard Dimbleby, featured a family from Ticino in Switzerland carrying out their annual spaghetti harvest. It showed women carefully plucking strands of spaghetti from a tree and laying them in the sun to dry. But some viewers failed to see the funny side of the broadcast and criticized the BBC for airing the item on what is supposed to be a serious factual program. Others, however, were so intrigued that they wanted to find out where they could purchase their own spaghetti bush." Spaghetti isn't, and then that was the end of that. And one of the reasons that a lot of people in Britain, you know, fell for the spaghetti hoax is because at the time, spaghetti is not, it wasn't a widely eaten food in the UK. And it was considered, like, by many just be an exotic delicacy. So Mr. Dimbleby explained how he was able to just confidently talk about how each year at the end of March is a very anxious time, and that how, you know, frost can impair the flavor of spaghetti, and just all these things that he could say. Nobody in Britain really knew much about spaghetti, so they were more inclined to believe it. And this is also one of the first times that the medium of television has been used to stage an April Fool's Day hoax. And some even, like, you know, with the recent political tensions, a lot of people like to point at it, point to it, and be like, the first example of fake news, quotation marks around fake news. But that's kind of where it's related back to that term. And even after the BBC put out their statement apologizing for the joke and saying that people didn't find it funny, they still continued to get thousands of calls, people asking, you know, are you just saying that because your producer told you to? And can you please hold this argument? Or where can I find spaghetti? Just stuff like that. Like I said, spaghetti was not a widely found food in Britain during the 1950s. Its popularity had been increasing since World War II when they were first introduced to it from the Italians, but many still considered it to be a foreign exotic dish. And honestly, its origin was just really a mystery to some people. They had no idea, like, how spaghetti was made. Among some of the notable people that were fooled was Sir Ian Jacob, the Director General of the BBC. A note had been sent to him informing him in advance about the broadcast, but he had not received it. Therefore, whenever he saw the broadcast, he didn't know what to expect. The next day, Jacob cornered me all in the hallway of the BBC building and said, "When I saw that item, I said to my wife, 'I don't think spaghetti grows on trees.' So we looked it up in Encyclopedia Britannica. Do you know, Meal? Encyclopedia Britannica doesn't even mention spaghetti." Then in the days that followed, there was a scattering of criticism. A few people complained that the BBC had taken liberties with the trust of their audience and taken advantage of them. The headline of the Daily Telegraph the next day actually read, "BBC fools about with spaghetti." Others noted that the BBC had violated one of the rules of April Fool's Day, that no jokes were to be carried out later than noon. But overall, the response was very favorable, in which I've never heard of April Fool's Day having, you know, like, unspoken rules or norms. But apparently, in some countries, there is actually rules to April Fool's Day and how you can celebrate it, which I didn't know that. So one of the rules in the UK was you can't celebrate it. Like, well, you can't celebrate it. You just can't pull any jokes past noon. Jacob himself, despite having been taken in by the hoax, became a fan of it. He sent De Jager a congratulatory note that said, "The spaghetti harvest was a splendid idea, beautifully shot and organized. This item has caused a great deal of delight one way and another. Thank you very much indeed." So, a whole nation was fooled on an April Fool's Day in 1957 because a random journalist had this idea to basically fool, you know, just air this completely false story on television that had millions of viewers each night. He was able to convince, you know, one or two of his friends, top-ranking officials, and then from there, it just went. And there's, like, testimonies and written, like, articles from people that, like, were kids when this was aired, and some people were like, "You know how long I actually believed that spaghetti grew on trees?" Like, there were people in Britain who genuinely, like, they genuinely thought that this was true. And it baffles me how, like, who looks at spaghetti and says, "Yeah, definitely came from a tree. Definitely. And, like, don't you think you would have heard of a spaghetti farm before? Like, if there were spaghetti farms, I'm pretty sure if there were spaghetti farms and your elementary school teacher would, like, take your class on a field trip and be like, "Let's go see how spaghetti's made." But obviously, as we all know, spaghetti does not grow on trees. And, well, everyone, that concludes our journey today to the Swiss Alps to oversee the spaghetti growing process. So for those of you who enjoy playing practical jokes on others, I hate to break it to you, but unfortunately, I think the BBC has got you beat. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at AIRTC.podcast for updates and notifications for whenever new episodes come out. With that, I hope you all enjoy this episode, and I hope that everyone has or had an amazing day. Thank you for listening, and until next time, this is Caleb signing off.